She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are?
I have no idea what I did it like that. The Book Besties.
Season 7. And
what the fuck, Molly?
In like one word real fast. Just read it fast. That's how I'm doing it.
Welcome back, friends.
One more time with feelings.
Season 7. Season 7.
Like, 7.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
We've been doing this for...
Oh, that's 6, then 7!
Oh my gosh. We've been doing this for 4... No, for 3 years. 3 years? 3 years. 3 years.
We started planning in the pandemic, so technically 4.
Well, yeah, our first episode launched in June of 2021.
Yeah.
And it is now September of 2024. It's so weird.
So weird.
So if you're new and just joining us, welcome. We've gained a lot of followers in between 6 and 7.
Welcome, guys. Thanks for the summer listens. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Welcome. I'm Molly.
I'm April.
We're the Book Besties.
We are the Book Besties.
I'm the writer. She's not. I'm a librarian. Mm-hmm. She's like super educated.
I don't know about super. I have a master's degree. Although I have been thinking about going back to get my PhD.
I said a thing to Hillary the other day, and now she won't leave it alone. I said, hey, Hillary, what do you think if I became a high school history teacher? And she's like, I love this idea! And now she won't leave it alone because she thinks I would make an excellent high school history teacher.
So I love you. I think you would make an excellent high school teacher. Do not do it. I would never go back to teaching again.
I love my kids and I love your children and Katie's
you
kids.
You don't like kids.
Here's the rule about other people's children. If I can't talk to them the way I talk to my children, the way I talk to your children, how I'm direct and honest.
But you can as a teacher because you're the authority figure in the classroom.
Right. But the way I talk, some parents get their sticks that are already up there, you know, just twisted and the branches get turned and then they just start losing their minds. Like I'm talking in French.
It's just not a career that I would recommend to anybody anymore.
Isn't so that sad?
Yes.
So sad.
It's very sad. So this summer.
Tangent. Sorry.
I mean, it's what we do. So this summer, I have had a very, very big summer.
It's been a weird summer, man.
It's been weird. So briefly, I read Smut Girl Summer again this year with Nurse Katie, but I'm going to hold off talking about that until next week because she was actually... She's going to be our guest star next week.
Who's hosting that? You or her?
I think I am. And it's just sort of like co-leading. Sounds I told her I would write questions, but I haven't started the book yet. So, I mean, this is the kind of shit we need to do in a planning meeting and not like when we're filming.
No, this is kind of why we do it this way. Because y'all love when we're just fucking chaotic.
I mean, it's what we do.
It is the way we run.
But in addition to doing Smut Girl Summer, I've read a lot of books this summer. I've been posting it on TikTok and Instagram if you want to see my recaps. But the big news this summer is that I quit my job.
She quit her job.
I quit my job. I had surgery. As we are filming this, I am still in recovery from my surgery. But when the episode goes live, I will have started my new job. Actually, the day this episode goes live. Mm-hmm. I'm moving to a different library system.
Which is very exciting. For those that know the process and everything, it's very exciting.
There were a lot of moving parts and there was a lot of anxiety because there were certain things that had to fall in line and I'm not going to get into all of those I get to have a personal life, but,
No. What? Absolutely not.
But, there were some things that had to fall in line that were very unlikely. Uh-huh. And those of you who are regular listeners know that I'm a believer. I go to church every Sunday and, I felt God moving in this.
Yeah.
If you are not a believer and you're a heathen like my best friend here, the universe was moving.
The stars aligned. Mm-hmm. The juju was there.
Mercury came out of the microwave, like all these things happened. And besides those two freaking are big things, I met Olivia Dade this summer.
She met Olivia fucking Dade.
I met Olivia Dade this summer.
And I am so jealous. And I was supposed to be there, which leads into my summer.
Yeah.
My summer, we called it Sad Girl Summer. Sad Girl Summer. So I know I promised you guys writing, and I promised April a full draft. But that didn't happen. And that's because at the beginning of the summer, we tragically and suddenly lost my stepfather.
Yeah.
And that really changed a lot for me in my headspace and where I was for my writing. And it kind of changed the pace of the whole summer. So I've kind of just been rebooting.
I mean, fortunately, both of us had big reboots this summer, but fortunately, we gave each other the time. We already had summer scheduled off, and we gave each other the time to really, like, process through everything.
Which I'm kind of, you know, I'm frustrated with myself because I did plan and prepare and do all these things that I needed to do to prepare for this writing summer.
Mm-hmm. And
because of the type of book I was planning and working on, it just wasn't going to work. So instead, my brain created a new storyline.
When you said you had a new notebook, I didn't know you meant that you had a new story. Oh, Molly. I'm begging you just to finish one. Like, just.
So, this is a country music star who goes home for his father's funeral. And it's the summer he spends there home trying to just be the kid he grew up as, not the famous country music star.
So is it a small town romance?
Yes. But she's married.
And what fuck, Molly?
And he's reconnecting with his two best friends. It's going to be very interesting.
So can you do NaNoWriMo? And
that's my hope. Okay. That's my hope to push out. I already have a few chapters drafted out. I'm like rough draft. I'm getting this is what I'm doing now. We sit down for dinner and we start a movie as a family, and Momo gets stony pants, and we're watching something amazing and classic. Like last time we watched Twister. So what I did was while we were watching Twister, I pulled this out and I just started writing chapters. And so that's what I've been doing, is getting stoned, watching old movies with the kids and Matt, and writing a chapter outline. It's
for my recovery. I've been getting stoned and watching classic Disney movies.
So. I love this for you. This is a great use of our time. These are great uses of our times.
I have to say, I'm very happy that I live in coastal Virginia. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this, and you live in Maryland. I'm very thankful that in Virginia, cannabis is legal.
I agree as well.
Because I am off of opioids and I'm only cannabis gummies. Yeah.
We are both on organic pain medications right now.
Yeah.
Could you imagine saying that, I don't know, 10 years ago?
No. And I developed a blood clot as part of my recovery, which sucked. But when I went to, I have two. I have two.
Good job.
When I went to the vascular surgeon who's doing my treatment, I explained to him what meds I was on, including the painkillers. And he was like, I really want you to come off those opioids. And I'm like, are they going to interact with the blood thinners? And he's like, no, I want you to come off of them because they're not healthy. And so I told him, well, I'm supplementing with cannabis. He's like, good. Move to that completely. And so to hear a surgeon who probably prescribes opioids.
Yeah.
My ortho surgeon was also like, do that.
Yeah.
So
I have a lot of doctors that are great about it. The only time I've ever had a doctor really be on the fence about it is when I first mentioned it. This is also when I lived in Houston and it wasn't legal there. Houston was playing with med card. Texas was playing with med cards when I was still there, but it was hard to get it in Texas.
Yeah.
And I had mentioned it to my rheumatologist there, and she's like, your infusions. And like, she was really about it.
Yeah.
But now that I'm like here, I think it's more of like a, what the heck? It's more of a Well, if you go off my infusions, then I don't have you as a constant patient and income. Yeah. And
my primary care is not okay with it. She told me that if I was using cannabis for my anxiety or for my pain, that she would never be able to prescribe me opioids. And my orthopedic surgeon was like, no, that's not true. But
someone's being a little judgmental, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not using because I want to get high.
You're not over-imbiting. You're not, and it's not addictive.
And what I'm using is a higher CBD, a lower THC. I'm not getting the euphoria. Mm-mm. I'm getting the pain management, and it's wonderful. So
it's magic. Anybody that's judging shouldn't be here. So let's talk about this week's book.
Well, before we do that, we have a really hell of a season coming up.
We do.
We've already said next week we're going to have Nurse Katie. I'll show you the book for that at the end of this episode. In October, we have our very good friend, author extraordinaire, Francesca Zappia.
I am so excited for Chelsea to be on for that book.
I know. I am too. And in November, we have a new to us author who
I'm so excited about this. So the medicine woman of Galveston. Okay.
Yes.
I saw this.
How do you say her name? Amanda Skinnendore?
I want to say it's Skinnendore. Skinnendore. Okay. Like one word real fast. Just read it fast. That's how I'm doing it.
Okay.
I saw her on our friend Addison Armstrong's page. Mm-hmm. Addison had got a preview of this book, and Addison couldn't shut up. And we trust Addison when it comes to historical fiction, because that girl knows historical fiction.
Yes.
If anyone knows historical fiction, it's fucking Addison Armstrong.
Yeah.
So for her to recommend this book, I was like, check one, sold. Two, then it talked about Galveston. I lived in the Houston-Galveston area for a hot damn minute. Sold.
I lived there for 4 years, so.
I sold. So you know what? Let's rock and roll. And I reached out to this author, and she was so interested right away. Not right away. She had to take a minute because obviously life. But she was just as excited as we are. So
yeah,
it's going to be great.
And we have a special, super special guest in December, which I cannot reveal the name of yet. We have some I's to dot and T's to cross before we can do that. But we are going to have
the fucking
amazing guests in December. And in October, we're doing a live filming at a bookstore.
Yeah.
Which
we'll
is
be together
crazy.
Again.
It's crazy.
How about them apples?
So, I mean, there's just so many things that we've got lined up. It's going to be an amazing season. And check social media because we'll be promoting all of this stuff. We share our books a few weeks ahead. We share them month at a time. We will do better about being on social media. This summer was hard given the fact that we were just
taking a break.
Yeah.
Everybody deserves a break.
Yeah. All right, so now let's talk about this week's book.
So this book, actually, Piper's been bugging us for 2.5 seasons about this book, actually.
Really?
And yes.
I didn't realize it was that old.
And she's asked several times for it. This book is my oldest, is Powerless by Lauren Roberts. It is the first in the series. There's 3 books in this series.
There will be 3. I think the next one doesn't come out until next year.
2025 July, and I just finished the last book.
I haven't read the second one yet.
I blew right through it. By chance, could I offer you a smidge of a synopsis?
Love that journey for us.
Yes, let's do it. Peyton Gray has done what she had to do to survive in the slums. Between her thieving and her best friend Ada's sewing, they make enough to get by.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the point. Stay under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Ilya, if you do not have power, well, you've been considered diseased and are dealt with permanently.
Mm-hmm.
Kai Azar has always known his job as an elite. He is a second born of the king and must become his brother's enforcer one day. But his father calls him up early to make sure he is ready.
Mm-hmm.
Kai is in the slums when he runs into the slippery-fingered Peyton, who nabs a few coins from him. She was not expecting as many coins as he had and was startled. Quickly, things get dirty and Kai is being attacked and she comes to his defense. That's when things backfire on Peyton. Peyton comes to his rescue and saves him against these more powerful beings. This ends up getting Peyton put into the Purge trials, something she wasn't planning on doing nor wants to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
See, she is trying to be under the radar because she does not have any powers.
Mm-hmm.
And she is pretending to have powers. So mm-hmm. this has made her life very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So, with a love triangle, witty banner, and of course, balls and battles, we need to talk about Powerless. Are you ready for some questions?
I am. And I just want to say, this is a library copy. Support local libraries. They are a free community resource, and they are a necessary life force in communities. And I'll get off my soapbox.
No. Keep standing there. I'm just going to show the map. This is the beauteous map. And in book two, there is a second map, another map
mm-hmm.
that's more detailed, and mm-hmm. a family tree.
Ooh.
Yes, but that has spoilers, so I can't show that.
Okay.
We battled all summer to decide what to put for this first book this season.
Yeah.
We went back and forth, and at the end of the day, it landed on me. How do you feel about Power Lauren Robert by Lauren Roberts?
Powerless by Lauren Roberts?
Yeah. Those words kind of came out of my mouth. Shut up.
They were close.
Go ahead.
So I'm just going to start the episode off with a...
Yeah, you need to.
I'm not going to say that I disliked this book, but I am going to say that this book is an amalgamation of so many books that already exist. And I really, really struggled not to just go, I just think I want to read the selection again. So this book is absolutely ripped from Red Queen. If you've read Red Queen by Victoria Aveyard, side note, if you have not read that series, the first book is incredible and it takes a steep dive the rest of the series.
Yeah, the Red Queen. Just read the first book and then pretend they forgot to finish it. That's my suggestion because that's what I did.
It's not good. But the story
is
a thief who has no powers, who steals from a prince who has powers, who has a sister who sews, who loses the ability to sew because her fingers are broken. And it's the fucking story that is in Powerless. And then you have the whole selection thing where there's all these balls and there's a love triangle
and then you have kids fighting each other, which
like
is
the Hunger Games. And then the very last trial is like fucking Maze Runner or Harry Potter.
It's Harry Potter with Cedric Diggory in the Triwizard Tournament.
Okay, we need Tom to keep a count of each time that you sing this season. So now we're at one. Put it right here, Tom. We'll add one to it every time.
How many times Molly bursts into song? Counter, dink. Okay, but yeah, there's just
so. I'm not gonna say I didn't like it because I mean I
just a lot of inspo. I get it. There's a lot of popular books in this.
And also like the Red Queen, it was two brothers. The older one that was the heir, his mom was dead, just like Red Queen. The younger one, who is not the heir, his mom is fierce and really the badass. And I don't know. It just was...
stuff. I like her writing. But I like the witty banner. But I didn't read the physical copy, but mm-hmm. I saved screenshots to post later. Mm-hmm. People that physically read this complained about the editing, complained about typos, complained about... Mm. Yes. So I'm assuming the grammar's not great.
And I don't know. I have no idea if this was one of those books that, like, got was published,
self-published, and then republished. And, I don't
know. And we've read several of those. And we've talked about this before. Social media has really gone big gangbusters for self-published authors, especially mm-hmm. Kindle Unlimited. I'm not sure that they're raking in the money, but even like traditionally published authors aren't really raking in the money. Like John yeah. Green has whole videos about how like his job yeah. as an author isn't what pays the bills.
No. Like, which is kind of sad, right? Right. Because as a writer,
every single one of his books are New York Times bestsellers, and like four of them have been made into movies.
Like, as a writer, if I put my heart, soul, and life into something like this, and it takes like 5 to 10 years to get it out, and it's renowned worldwide, and it's sold, and it's done all the things, and I'm on the Times bestseller, and I'm still relying on my husband's paycheck to pay the bills, I want to take my something and scoop my eyes out, because what was the point? You know?
And I think the point is to see your name in print.
And it is. I know.
And when that day fucking comes, you better believe that I will be at every single tour stop. I will be like at God. All of them. I'll be like,
I'm going to be so tired. I'm just going to be like, April's going to pretend to sign for me because people confuse us all the time. It's fine.
So we had something else planned for the first episode, which I'm going to hold off saying what that was because it's possible yeah. it could happen in the future. But I don't think this was a bad choice because not only did Piper recommend it, Katie had also read it liked and really it, liked yeah. it. And when I was still at my job before I quit, it was one of the books that people were constantly coming in and putting yeah, on hold.
This is a very
like it had a good
book.
Holds list. So yeah. it definitely is popular. I'm not going to say I didn't like it. I mean, the story is there.
I can see why people like it, though. I can mm-hmm. see why they like it. It's just you and I are so well read.
Right.
You know,
and originality is important to me.
To say, by the way.
What'd you say?
We're so well read. I'm so like we are. It's just
we are. We read at least a book a week. And yeah. I mean, I know some of these TikTokers that are reading like 100 books a month. Like that's fucking
insane. I
don't believe
them. I don't believe you. No. You're not reading 100 books a week. You're not. You're a liar.
I don't know how they can keep any track of them. But here's the thing for me. Twilight is not well written, right? But what did we like about it? The originality.
Yeah.
This book isn't original. And so for me, I will read the rest of the series because I thought, like, especially the ending, it really, mm-hmm. like, but yeah. It's not one that I'm like, oh, damn, I really need to start the second book.
Here's
right
what
away.
I'm going to say about the second book without spoilers. It is mm-hmm. more original.
Okay.
It made me give it a higher, I gave it a higher number on mm-hmm. my ratings.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. There was some slow parts. I enjoyed it, though.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I enjoyed this, it's the characters are consistent from book one to book two. Like, it's streamlined. You know how sometimes when you read a sequel and it doesn't feel like it catches
yeah, like
up?
The second in Red Queen.
Yes. This is a straight streamline. There is no okay. bumps in the road.
Okay.
So, okay, yeah. Where are we? Number two. Great. Yeah, only second question. It's fine. It's fine.
Welcome back, friends.
Powerless takes something we've seen before, a plague of sorts, mm-hmm. and it turns it into a mutation. Either you mm-hmm. die mm-hmm. or you get powers.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of this change of taking what this author is using this as a caste system, right? As a class mm-hmm. system. What do you think of this use of using powers and illness as a class system?
I mean, I feel like it was done better in Red Queen, even though Red Queen isn't as good of a story. I think it's interesting. This sort of dystopian genre, this is one of my favorite genres, especially YA dystopian. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that there's some woman out there, young girl, who's going to challenge the patriarchy and blow shit up.
God, I hope there is someday.
But I don't know. It's hard for me because essentially what happened was this plague happened
mm-hmm.
and then the rest of it is eugenics, right? We're going yeah. to kill off the people who aren't, we don't feel are good enough.
Right.
And it's just,
But real? They think they're killing with the, but the premise is that the people that they're killing, the people that don't have powers, mm-hmm. the elite mm-hmm. are being told by medicine healer, the healers, the people that are supposed to be like, keep everybody mm-hmm. safe, that if they don't have a power, that they are diseased. Mm-hmm. And these diseased people will kill everybody else if they're not dealt with.
I mean, there are many historical events that can reference we have to kill off the disease. I mean, the Holocaust, for example, is just
one. Holocaust is, yeah.
But one of the things I thought was interesting with this book and what they chose to do, what Lauren Roberts chose to do, was within this caste system, you still have characters with power who are servants. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a story like Red Queen, where it's the us versus them, and the ones that are red-blooded are going to take care of all of us and be servants and like serve for our pleasure. Instead, it's, I have a power, but it's not as good, so I have to be a servant.
Yeah.
And I like, really even feel like that is less likely to happen.
Right. Well, especially like the ones that are the most powerful are mm-hmm. actually in hiding. Mm-hmm. Right? The ones that have like the crazy powers that
the silencers.
The silencers and those kind of people, they're killed or mm-hmm. they're put to like away and hid until they're needed because they don't want them getting too powerful.
Right.
So it's a control thing for the kingdom mm-hmm. and it's wild.
Yeah. I just have a hard time believing that somebody who has a power would be a maid.
Yeah. Yeah. You want me to fucking clean your toilet? Eat shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I just don't think it would happen.
No. And that's why we need the people that don't have powers. I want to clear the deck early in our questions. Powerless has a lot of pitfalls for me. And I'm sure you and I'm sure for you too. The author seems to grab some of our favorites. Do you think this book had any original content? Below are the titles we felt it was too similar to. The Selection, Hunger Game, and Red Queen.
Yeah. I think the originality really came in the end. Mm-hmm. With like the last, I mean the, okay. If you are new here, I just want to give you a heads up that we always give spoilers. So mm-hmm. if this is a book that you plan to read and you do not want it spoiled for you, go read it, come back to the episode, because I'm going to say a spoiler right now. This will be your only warning.
Last chance.
The attack happening with the rebels at the third trial is very consistent with the Red Queen. That is what happens in that book too. But the way that it happens, where the big event at the end, where I mean, she kills the king.
She chopped his head off. Mm-hmm. She chopped his head off mm-hmm. with her dagger.
Mm-hmm. That's a sharp motherfucking dagger.
That is a strong ass girl. She's like 5 foot. Mm-hmm. 5 foot. And she just took a dagger. A dagger. This, like, that's handheld, man.
Well, you know she has to be tiny because that's how all these books are, right? Because,
you know, heaven forbid somebody's a normal sized person.
Right.
No, she little. She mm-hmm. has to be little to survive. Small girl. There's just a lot of similarities and it's really frustrating for me, especially like the whole Hunger Games selection trial mm-hmm. bullshit for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's cool. We're just letting kids kill each other.
Yeah.
Can we not? Can we not have kids kill each other? We do that enough mm-hmm. in modern America. Remember, there are 3 mass shootings a day, guys.
It's just, I don't know. You know what was really attractive about the Hunger Games series is how we could see a trajectory that this could happen. The Selection, we could see a trajectory in which a very rich person took over the country and put themselves in the highest office of power.
And took over the coolest place in the world, L.A.,
And there are just so many things that it was like, oh, that could really happen. I don't think this could happen. Like, I don't see this.
This feels like a, like, I really like that scene. I'm going to edit it to my likings. Mm-hmm. I really like that scene. I'm going to edit it to my likings.
It's almost like it's a fan fiction.
Choose your own adventure. I just, there was a couple of scenes where I was like, and I have notes in my like Audible where I'm like, hashtag not sponsored, by the way. Mm-hmm. Hashtag not sponsored, Audible. There is a couple of times where I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. You've got to be fucking kidding me. Like,
yeah, I actually texted you and Katie because I was still reading while you had both finished it. I actually texted you guys. No fucking way is she using a bow and arrow that her dad taught her to use.
Yeah. Yeah. The night scene in the garden with the prince alone. Give me a fucking break. Selection.
I mean, it just was way too many similarities to other things.
Okay, we've bagged on this.
All right.
Let's move on.
I'll try.
Let's give it a good bell, though, real quick. One, two, three. You've been told, Lauren Roberts. Okay. Peyton's whole childhood revolved around learning how to fake being a psychic, mm-hmm. a skill that helped her blend into the world of people with powers. We see her put it to use throughout the book. Mm-hmm. Is this a good fake power to have? Could it have backfired?
I think it's a very easy thing to fake. I do believe that there are people that have visions, but most people who are telling futures and telling fortunes and whatever, most people that are doing that are psychic, are reading the room, which is exactly what she was doing.
Exactly. But her dad taught her really early, right? Mm-hmm. It's, as someone that learned how to read people at a young age, mm-hmm. it is very easy to make people think you know more about them than you do. Mm-hmm.
It definitely could have backfired, to answer your second question. It definitely could have backfired, especially, I know that she was like explaining in a way that her ability wasn't something that Kai could sense, even though Kai can take on the abilities of others. Which, by the way, in the Hunger Games, Katniss pretends to be able to have supersonic hearing, and it's really she just knows how to see where the force field is. It's very similar. I know that she explains it away, but I don't believe that. Like, there's no reason why. It's like in Twilight, how Alice can't see Bella's future and Edward can't read Bella's thoughts, but somehow Jasper is able to still control her mood.
We don't trust Jasper.
Jasper was a very clear choice by Stephanie Meyer. You could have picked him to be any type of soldier. You picked a Confederate officer in Texas. It's a very specific choice.
Yuck. I don't even know where I was. I have been, people say all the time, they feel like they know me for a long time, that I am very warm, and they just don't know how I know so much about them instantly. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Here's what it is.
I've been your best friend for long enough to know that you are warm, but you are Slytherin.
I am not a Slytherin!
Liar.
I'm gonna wake Matthew up yelling at you. I am not. But it's easy for people. It is an easy thing to fake. Mm-hmm. It is an easy thing to fake. Mm-hmm. The royal family in Powerless is an interesting mix. You have Kit, the oldest brother from the king's first marriage, who is obviously blonde and beautiful and blue-eyed and just
like Red Queen.
Yep. Then we have Kai, the king's second-born from his second marriage. And then Jax, a boy adopted and brought into the family. Mm-hmm. The relationships of the older two brothers change when Peyton joins the contest in the castle. Mm-hmm. Did you like the buildup of the brothers' relationships? And did you like the love triangle?
So I am a fan of love triangles. This one really bothered me. And it's not because I didn't believe it. Like, it was very clearly a well thought out love triangle. Mm-hmm. What bothered me is the brothers never once had a conversation about it.
But that feels more realistic to
me. It does not to me. It does not to me.
I avoid conflict like the fucking plague. But so if
that's not, that is not how men deal with it.
Right, they would punch it out.
There would be some showing of brute strength. Mm-hmm. There would be some sort of, like, charge of masculinity to win her over.
Yeah.
And there would be a conversation, because I feel like, as the older brother, Kit has gotten a lot, and Kai has kind of gotten shit, and I feel like the conversation would have been, I want her and you can't have her because I'm the future king. And then that would have been the end of it.
I think the reason neither are saying anything is because the other doesn't want to hurt the other.
Because that may be true. That may be true, but I don't believe it. They would have had a conversation.
I don't know. I don't feel like we know the brothers well enough.
Do you feel like you know them better after the second book?
Yes, but in a different way, and I can't explain that. I can't explain that right now.
I feel like there would be a conversation, and it would have been there would have been brute strength and violence involved.
I feel like so part of my problem with the brothers' relationship in this book is their dad purposely divides them. Mm-hmm. Even though they push themselves together as much as possible, they force mm-hmm. themselves to be brothers
mm-hmm.
in a lot of different ways. But their dad purposely does everything he can to kind of shove them apart. Mm-hmm. So them not communicating feels like it's their dad. You know what I mean? Like, don't talk to him about that. Don't talk to him about that. No.
I don't believe it. I don't believe they never would have had a conversation.
So, since we were talking about, I don't know where I was going with that. Since we're talking about the love triangle, Kai's relationship and Kit's relationship with Peyton are very different. As you read, who are you rooting for when it comes to these brothers?
I think at one point I texted you that I couldn't wait to see which one, like, actually gave into her plan. Mm-hmm. Because to me, that would be the person that, you know, she belonged with. I have more of a connection to her with Kai than I do with Kit.
Yeah. I think,
which is the opposite of what happened in Red Queen. I was more into her with
the older one.
I know it starts with a C, but his name escapes me right now. But I was more attached to him.
I think she's two different Peyton's with them. Mm-hmm. I think with Kit, she gets to be more relaxed and calm, but she's still putting on a show with Kit. With Kit, mm-hmm. she's pretending still because she doesn't threaten to hurt him. She doesn't try to fight him. She doesn't mm-hmm. do any of the aggressive things that make Peyton Peyton, right? Mm-hmm. She was taught to fight, battle, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That is just who Peyton is, and she gets to do that with Kai in a way she couldn't Kit.
I feel like with for Peyton, Kit is a means to an end. He mm-hmm. is this is how I'm going to accomplish what I need to accomplish. And I think the complicated feelings she has for Kai are more like genuine. Like, I think she doesn't want to have these feelings, and she does.
Mm-hmm.
And they get made even more complicated as we find out at the end that he really killed her father.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would be as devastating to her if she didn't have genuine feelings.
Right. Right. And truly, she builds a friendship with him mm-hmm. instantly. Like, mm-hmm. there is an instant connection. And mm-hmm. that could be because they both are survivors. That could be that they're both mm-hmm. battlers. It could mm-hmm. be a lot of things, mm-hmm. but that ending mm-hmm. really, really changed that for them.
Yeah.
Really changed that for them.
Yeah, because now how do you come back from that?
I don't know. I honestly don't, because that is something, I don't know.
Yeah.
We learn about the resistance in this book pretty quickly. I'm not going to lie. The author wastes no time throwing not just Peyton, but the readers into it. What was using Larry, her father, and the house she grew up in, a good choice for the author?
It was a choice.
It was a choice. You do not reveal a resistance in book one.
You do at the end.
Not halfway and through.
You're not involved in the resistance until at least book two. She was in.
We watched the rise and fall of a resistance in the same book.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck around. Why?
Right.
Fuck around. Why? Making her dad and the resistance and her home, it just felt cliche to me.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt cliche to me.
I also didn't like that they just assumed she was dead and they took over the house. Like, okay, she lived in that house for a short time after her dad died. They didn't come to check on her?
No. No. And what's wild, more wild about that is there are rumors of a young psychic pickpocket throughout the slums. And all of you knew her father taught her how to become a psychic. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. No one goes, huh, that might be Peyton. She's the only one with fucking silver hair in town.
And, right. And the fact that this group of the resistance lived in that town. How did they not just, like, see the silver-haired chick?
And be like, oh, shit, there goes this kid. Somebody should grab her and feed her. Like, what the fuck, guys? You lazy sons of bitches. You know what else? You know what else really upset me? And I noticed this today. Her last name is Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Her hair is silver.
Mm-hmm.
Their last name is Azer. Their eyes are blue.
Mm-hmm.
Azer. Azul.
Mm-hmm.
Blue. What? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? We. You think that was clever? Do you, Miss Roberts? Do you?
I think she did.
Good for you, girl. Good for you. There's a lot of things happening in this book. And we truly do not have time to cover everything. And I'm sorry if you're a massive fan of this book. So let's jump into the challenges. There was three of them. We had the first challenge, which was the traditional challenge. They threw them into the forest and they had to fight, you know, get bands survive. Off each other. Yeah, and survive. And whoever had the most bands at the end wins. The second challenge, they had to climb this mountain tied to each other as a group mm-hmm. in small groups. And then the third challenge was this maze. And at the end of the maze, you had to kill this random bad person.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of different reasons for a lot of all these challenges. Is it obvious to the reader that these choices were by the king to make everything his puppet so that his son could be the final winner?
I think everything was by design for Kai to show his strength.
Yeah.
So at first it was independence.
Yep.
To show that he could be the leader and take the most bands. Then the second one was he could lead people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one was that he would kill and be the enforcer for whomever his father or brother told him to.
Even if it was the woman he loves, best friend.
Mm-hmm.
He mm-hmm. really, like, that man. I also really think once Peyton was a part of this, he catered to torture her too as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because the king knew who Peyton was.
Mm-hmm.
From the moment he heard her name,
mm-hmm.
saw her face, he knew who she was.
Well, knowing who her father was enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to talk about the ending now. That's okay. One of my last questions. Oh, no, I guess it's not one of my last questions. Jesus Christ, Molly, get your life together. Let's talk about the ending. After the last challenge in the maze, chaos takes over for Peyton to escape. Spoilers, guys. She must go up against the man who killed her father,
mm-hmm.
the king.
Mm-hmm.
This fight is bloody and awful. And this ending, I was shocked. That ending
mm-hmm.
was shocking. Talk, yeah. Tell me how you feel about this ending.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was really, like, good climax, good drive. It had a good pacing. It kept my interest, especially after me being so annoyed with the rest of the book not being very original. Mm-hmm. Here at the end, we get originality.
We get originality. It took her a gazillion pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the twist that Kai is the one that killed her father, you can definitely see. What a doozy. Huh?
What a doozy.
I know. And you can definitely see now in retrospect the foreshadowing of what was happening to lead mm-hmm. up to that. But I thought it was still a pretty great twist. Like, yeah. It was a pretty great twist. And it wasn't. It was a good twist. When Kai talks about the first person that he killed, he talks about it being a child.
Yes, the way he made it sound is he had to kill his first person with a kid.
Yeah, and then he said he would never do that again. He came home and threw up and cried.
In the stables, and his brother and Kit comforted him. Mm-hmm. And ever since he had to do that, Kit would always comfort him afterwards, which is kind of amazing. I love you, but I'm going to make you go kill somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But it's the belief that they have, right? It's the, we are superior. We need to rid ourselves of the poison that potentially could harm us.
You know who else thinks that way, though?
Nazis?
White supremacists. Yeah. White supremacists? Yeah. Isn't that disgusting? Mm-hmm. And the last chapter. The final chapter is through Kit's POV. Even though he doesn't talk throughout the any of this book. Weird or not weird?
I hated it.
I thought so too.
And the audiobook, so I listened to the audiobook like you did. It's a dual narrator, and they used the same voice for the main that was Kai. Right. It was the same male voice, and I kept getting confused. I think partially because I was on painkillers and wasn't really sure what was happening, but I kept going, wait, no, he's referring to Kai, so it must be Kit. And I kept going back and forth. Yeah. It was very distracting. I did not like it. It was not a good choice.
0 out of 10 would not recommend.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I wasn't.
And if you're going to make Kit the epilogue character, at least for the audiobook, you need to change narrators.
That would have been cute. Mm-hmm. Like, in the second audiobook, they have the same male narrator for both. There's 3 point of views in the second book.
And it's the same male for both?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Gosh, that would be so confusing.
It was. So, did I miss anything? Final thoughts? April, Goodreads, what am I missing?
I don't think you're missing anything. On Goodreads, I gave it 3.5 stars out of 5. I rounded up to 4 because Goodreads still doesn't let you give halves, but I am on StoryGraph and I gave it 3.5 there. My basic thing is that what saved this book was the final trial when it literally everything came to head.
Yeah.
I don't know. I will finish this book. I really intend to, because I do think, or the series rather, I do think that it's a good story. It's just not original, and mm-mm. it's not one that I feel like I need to rush right to.
I don't either. Like, I feel like we've been there, done that. Mm-hmm. And if we were in the 2010s, 09s, where we were getting these all the time, we wouldn't even have, this wouldn't even be on the radar. But
no,
we're in a season of where horror and romance and women's lit is really popular right now. And we're not seeing as much YA and like dystopian like this. So this is going to do better. It's just gonna, because it doesn't have as much competition right now.
And it's YA, and because YA readers are mm-hmm. constantly changing, because you bring in a new group of young adults, this would be a gateway to the current teenagers moving into more of that dystopian that we liked in the early 2000s, 2010s.
Agreed. So, got anything else?
That's it. You want to talk about next week?
Let's do it.
So next week, we have our very good friend, our other best friend, Nurse Katie, on to talk about this book, In the Lives of Puppets by T.J. Klune. This is a signed copy from Barnes & Noble.
You're fancy.
I bought on the Boxing Day sale that they always have half off hardbacks. Hashtag not sponsored. So that's what we're going to be doing next week, having Katie on. This will be our third T.J. Klune. We love him.
We love him.
I read the second book in the Werewolf series this summer by him.
Yeah. And
It was a little bit better. Okay. The next two, they're adults when they meet, so the creepy grooming thing isn't going to be included. But I...
Thank Jesus.
T.J. Klune can build a fucking world.
He can.
He can build a fucking world. So for sure, so we're going to read In the Lives of Puppets. Check social media for the rest of the month. Follow along and read with us. Like,
yeah,
we love it. Also, shout out to Florida Megan. I still want to have her come on, but so Megan is my friend who lives in Florida. We've been friends.
She doesn't have friends other than me. Shh.
We've been friends. I mean,
forever, longer than
years.
Been, yeah, a long time. Years. A long time.
And so, anyway, we had a conversation, Megan and I did, a couple of weeks ago, in which I said, I think you're the only person that has read every book that we've had on the pod, because she's read all of them except what the Ashling, because she can't find it.
I mean, can you blame her?
No. She's
thanks,
read
Hillary,
all of
for
them.
That one.
Huh?
Thanks, Hillary, for that one.
Yeah, she can't find it other than buying a physical copy like we had to do, and she doesn't want to do that, which I told her I think that's fine.
Don't.
But the interesting thing is she pointed out to me that she's actually read more of the pod books than I have, because she's read the episodes that I wasn't on. She's read the episodes that you weren't on. So she's read more than we have for our own podcast.
You know what, Megan? Shut up. Shut up, Megan. Shut the fuck up, Megan. And I'll say that to your face.
I really want to have her on because I think she would be great commentary.
She would.
She's a writer like you are, and communication major and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, so next week, Nurse Katie's back. We love Nurse Katie.
We love Nurse Katie.
And that's all I've got. Anything else?
No. Welcome back to season 7, guys.
Season 7. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly and not those of anyone else. Today's book was Powerless by Lauren Roberts. Your book besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins and music is Sleep Sweetly by Brigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.